Goedemorgen en heel hartelijk welkom bij Hour of Power. Ik vind het prachtig, zo meteen schudt iedereen elkaar in de kerk daar in Californië hand en zegt God love you and so do I. En ik vind het leuk dat ik het vanmorgen met jou kan doen. Lini van Ooyen, we kennen haar allemaal van het prachtige programma Hoe Schoon Is Mijn Huis. Fijn dat je hier bent. Vind je het ook leuk?
Ja, ik vind het erg leuk. Hartelijk dank voor je uitnodiging.
Hartelijk dank dat je wilde komen.
Heb ik heel graag gedaan.
We gaan zo meteen verder praten en wij gaan eerst naar de Crystal Cathedral. En dan gaan we luisteren naar het koor, naar muziek en ook naar Kristin Armstrong. Zij is de ex-echtgenote van Lance Armstrong, de veelvuldig winnaar van de Tour de France.
From the Crystal Cathedral in Garden Grove, California, join Robert Schuller in An Hour of Power. Now celebrating our 37th year as the face and voice of positive Christianity to the world.
People said, wow, it is a beautiful day to be here and to feel the Holy Spirit of God touching our hearts. And so I want to allow you right now to allow that Spirit of God's love to flow through you as you shake the hands of those who are standing around you and say, God loves you and so do I. Well, this morning my father is going to be interviewing Kristin Armstrong, who is here to share her inspiring testimony of God's healing power in the midst of her divorce. We have Don Noon in the Crystal Cathedral Choir. We have Sean Groobridge at the Hazel Wright Organ. And we have Mark Riley and the Hour of Power Orchestra. And so they will be leading us right now as we join in singing Trusting Jesus Every Day.
Trusting Jesus.
Dear Heavenly Father, we are trusting you this very moment. No matter what comes our way, we know that you are there to carry us through. And so, in this confidence, in this conviction, in this belief, we rest our souls and our minds and our hearts in your hands. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Amen. Thank you, choir. Thank you, Don. It's from Hebrews 11, probably one of my favorite Bible chapters. Now, faith, what is it? It's being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. How profound. By faith, we understand that the universe was formed at God's command so that what is seen was not made out of what was visible.
Therefore, let us throw off everything that hinders and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and the perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. No discipline seems pleasant at the time, but painful. Later on, however, it produces a harvest of righteousness and peace for those who have been trained by it. Therefore, strengthen your feeble arms and weak knees. Make level paths for your feet, so that the lame may not be disabled, but rather healed. Wow. May God add his blessing to the reading of his holy word.
Well, I'm holding in my hand a phenomenal book. I can't begin to describe how important it is, but it's written by Kristen Armstrong, who was married for 5 years to Lance Armstrong, the great bicyclist. And that marriage went into a divorce. And during it, she kept amazing private diary.
It's some of the most powerful Bible verses you can imagine. Happily ever after is the book. And in the foreword and in the book, she calls it a thank you to God for helping her to get through it positively. Please welcome Kristen Armstrong. Hi, Kristen.
Hi.
God loves you, and so do I.
And God loves you, and so do I.
Thank you. You know, you called this book in the foreword a thank you note to God. Explain.
Well, I was lucky during a really dark time in my life to receive so many encouraging notes and cards from people. And so instead of putting all of that on a shelf, I decided to compile it into this book, which has scripture at the top of every page, followed by a meditation or a reflection that combines memories as well as some journaling I did during that time. And God's really carried me out of that dark place, and so I wanted a way to thank Him by ministering to other people.
Where did you come by this faith? Did you have it when you married Lance?
My faith is something that I've always had, but at various times in my life, I think I've probably put it on the back burner, saying, oh, I'm busy, I'm tending to little children, I'm traveling in the world, I'm doing all these things. But then, of course, anytime you let your faith get out of your sight, you're tested and your priorities are realigned, and that's where I've been.
Wow. You even say in here that bad times turn out to be good times with God, right?
I think any time I've gone through a bad time, I feel just that much closer to God. And so those are the reasons why we can give thanks even when times aren't so good.
Wow. Yeah. Did you and Lance have this faith when you married?
I always did, yeah.
You did. And has it grown through the five years of marriage and how many years since the marriage ended?
Three. Yeah, wow. It's absolutely grown.
What have you learned through this time?
The biggest lesson I've learned is probably the lesson of unconditional love. Because even when your relationship ends, and for me in particular, and for Lance and I, since we have three children, even though our relationship didn't last, it means the world to me to show my children that love is unconditional. And so that's what we're working on.
And how's it going?
It's going. Going well. Yeah, the kids are doing well.
What is the hardest experience you went through during all these years? The hardest times?
I would say my biggest stumbling blocks were forgiveness and fear. I'd say forgiveness because divorce comes with it a huge sense of failure, just like many other trials in your life. So I had to forgive myself, and I had to forgive Lance, and I had to find a way to let it go and turn it over to God. And there's a verse from Ephesians that spoke to me so much, 4:31-32. It says, get rid of all bitterness. And then it goes on to say, be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving one another as God in Christ has forgiven you. And I kept that on my kitchen windowsill many, many months because I needed those words to minister to me. And then I would say fear, because when I was looking at rebuilding a life for myself and my children, it scared me. And I think my favorite verse probably to combat fear is Joshua 1:9. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be terrified. Do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. And those scriptures, what they have in common to me is they're not a suggestion as to how we should feel. They're a command. They're bold. And they require simple obedience and nothing more.
Wow.
Yeah.
You learned all of this Bible. You attend church regularly, I assume.
I do.
Yes. Yeah. And your three children, are they being raised in the faith?
They are. They're going to Sunday school and Bible study.
That's wonderful.
Yeah.
That's fantastic.
Yeah.
Now, what would you say to others who are, you use the word the pit.
The pit.
Why did you use the word the pit?
Because it's an awful place. It's a really dark time. And whether you're going through a divorce or a trial of any kind in your life, a period of testing, that it's a very dark, desolate place, and there's only one way out.
So, it's a bit.
It's a bit, yeah.
What got you out?
My faith is the only thing that got me out. I write in my book about how the Lord took me out of that pit and set me on a rock. And he did that for me and for my family. And so I think what I would say to anyone in that situation is that all pain can be redemptive if we keep our hearts open to God. And that's a beautiful thing.
You know, my wife read in the first 100 pages, she never stopped. And finally, she stopped at 99 because she had a big dinner. But ascending from the pit, you said, my slimy pit was slippery with deceit and tabloids, photographers, garden variety gossip, conversation stopper at school. I despise the checkout line at the grocery store. It's bad enough to go through divorce. But if it's a divorce with a man whose name at that time was the biggest and most powerful probably in the whole world, how could you handle it? How could you handle it standing in line, which you probably had to do?
You know, I don't think you get to choose, because that was a dark time, but then there were also so many beautiful times in our life, and if you're in the public eye, you don't get to choose that you only want the beautiful times to be out in the world, but not your difficulties. And so I think with anything, whether it's Lance with his cancer or our divorce or just the struggles of raising children together, sharing those stories, whether it's good or bad, hard or easy times, it's something that is part of the duty.
Wow. Well, what would you say to others? If you could condense what you've learned through all of that, what would you say to others who are still in the pit right now?
I would just remind them about Romans 8:28, that he works all things together for good. Because for believers, it doesn't mean all things except for divorce or all things except for heartache. There's nothing that falls outside the umbrella of all things. And that's mighty.
Wow. You had 3 points in previous discussions. Remember them?
I think so. In talking to people that are going through divorce, and I see more and more people lately that come up to me and talk to me just because we have it in common. And I think for those people, I would tell them, first of all, that if someone's left you, it doesn't mean that you're leavable or not worth fighting for. And secondly, I would tell them that if your relationship is broken, it doesn't mean that it's always going to be broken. It might heal in a new way and look completely different. And finally, I would say if you're somebody who's messed up, that it doesn't mean that you're stained forever. Because again, God works everything for good.
Tough times never last, but tough people do.
Amen.
Thank you very,
thank you.
Very much.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you.
Prachtige muziek uit de Crystal Cathedral. Lini van Ooyen is mijn gasten van morgen. Ik ben erg blij dat ze hier is. En Lini, voordat ik met jou ga praten, laat ik een stukje zien uit het kerstconcert wat we hebben opgenomen in Nederland en waar jij bij was. En wat jou bijzonder ontroerde. We gaan er even naar kijken. Toch dat je er zat, Lini. Overigens, hartelijk welkom. Ik zat bijna vergeten. Leuk dat je er bent.
Hartelijk dank voor de uitnodiging.
Ja, met genoegen. Ik weet nog de kerstconcerten in de Laurenskerk waar jij bij was. Je zat op de voorste rij en je raakte diep ontroerd.
Ik was zo geraakt. En waarom? Als ik erover praat, dan kan je wel stoppen. Want dan gaan we eerst huilen. Nee, ook die volle kerk met al die mensen en die prachtige muziek. En dan denk ik van, ja, wij zijn hier allemaal zo vredig bij elkaar. Waarom kan het nou over de hele wereld niet zo zijn? Hè? Aan de andere kant van de wereld knallen ze elkaar overhoop. Kinderen sterven van de honger. Mensen lijden aan aids. Mensen hebben geen water, geen eten. En dat houdt mij dan bezig. Dan denk ik, god, wat hebben we het hier toch eigenlijk allemaal goed. En waarderen wij dat wel? En dat maakt mij min of meer verdrietig, dat het niet overal zo is.
Maar ik denk dat je het met me eens bent dat we niet machteloos zijn. Waar verdriet is, kunnen we troosten. Jezus zelf zegt, voed de hongerige, kleed de naakte, zoek de gevangenen op in de gevangenis. Dus je kunt wat doen.
Ja, dat is een hele mooie opdracht, maar ik geloof altijd dat je de mensen alleen maar helpt wel om er naartoe te gaan. Maar geef ze inderdaad een waterpomp. Geef ze inderdaad beesten waar ze voor kunnen zorgen, waar ze melk uit kunnen produceren. Geef ze een stuk land.
Wat jij bedoelt is, geef ze geen vis te eten, maar geef ze een hengel om te vissen.
Ja, dat bedoel ik.
Ik ga even naar de uitzendingen. Want jouw dochter, Marja, jullie zijn natuurlijk een ongelooflijk bekend duo met het succesnummer Hoe schoon is mijn huis. En waar jullie komen, daar ligt een rode loper uit, toch?
Nou ja, zo ongeveer wel. De mensen
hoe is
zijn
dat eigenlijk om zo'n filmster te zijn?
Het zegt mij heel weinig om bekend te zijn. Alleen, vroeger liep ik heerlijk in mezelf gekeerd op straat. En nu word ik iedere keer wakker geschud van, oh, wat leuk, mevrouw uit Hoe schoon. Dus dan keer ik weer terug in mezelf gekeerd en dan komt er weer iemand. Nee, de mensen zijn altijd erg vrolijk en kijken blij. Ze krijgen altijd een vriendelijk antwoord. Je vindt het natuurlijk ook leuk als ze je kennen. Wij waren ook eens blij met de kijkcijfers, laten we eerlijk zijn. Het was het eerste wat ik vroeger, wat ik 's morgens tegen Marja zei. Marja, hoe zijn de kijkcijfers? Want zij keek dat altijd naar. En als we iets minder hadden, oh jee, zat ik in de put hoor, de hele dag. Ja. Hoe kan dat nou? Ja. Oh, zeker vakanties.
Jouw dochter Marja ging kijken en kijkt nog steeds naar Hour of Power. Maar jij keek niet.
Marja, die had met mij over Hour of Power gesproken. Toen zei ik, goh, nooit van gehoord. Hoe laat is dat? Ja, dat is 's morgens om 9:00. Op zondagochtend van 9 tot 10. En toen dacht ik bij mezelf van, nou, ik ga toch eens naar Hour of Power kijken. Marja die was op vakantie en we hadden afgesproken elkaar niet te bellen. En daar had ik een reden voor. Wij werken al zoveel samen en we praten iedere dag met elkaar. En ik gunde haar die rust. Dus ik dacht wel, om aan haar te denken, ga ik naar Over of Power kijken op zondag.
Als ik zo'n moeder had, zou ik elke dag met haar aan de lijn willen zitten.
Nou, dat doet zij ook.
Ja, ja.
Maar op vakantie moet ze echt, echt haar rust even hebben. Dus ik heb zondags naar Over of Power gekeken. Ik dacht dat ik het haar ook verteld had. Nou, en nu kijk ik zondags naar Over of Power.
Wat vind je van de uitzending van Over of Power?
Ik vind het geweldig. En waarom vind ik het geweldig? Die saamhorigheid van de mensen onder elkaar. Dat er allemaal dat aardig zijn, dat lief zijn voor elkaar. Dat doet mij heel veel. En dan denk ik altijd weer, ja, dan begint het weer. Waarom kan dat nou niet? Waarom kan het nou overal niet zo zijn? Maar dat schijnt niet zo te kunnen. Dus ik hou erover op om daarover te denken, maar ik vind het geweldig.
Ja.
En ik zie ook aan de gezichten dat de mensen daar toch kracht uit halen. Want iedereen zoekt natuurlijk toch wel ergens kracht.
Je bent katholiek opgevoed, dus met het geloof in God. Geloof je nog steeds?
Ik geloof nog steeds. Ik bid iedere dag. Dus ik heb zelfs ook nog even gedacht om non te worden. Maar dat is erg lang geleden. Ja, echt. Ja, echt waar. Ik zat in Aarsen in het klooster in 1943. En die rust die daarvan uitging, en natuurlijk dat paste volkomen bij mijn karakter. Die stilte, er was nooit actie en spanning. Altijd dezelfde rust. Ja, oh, dat vond ik zalig. Dus toen dacht ik bij mezelf, ik wil non worden. Nou, mijn vader die kwam naar het klooster om mij op te zoeken. Toen begon ik te huilen. En toen zei hij tegen mij, jij komt terug naar huis. En als je over een jaar nog hetzelfde denkt, dan mag je terug. Dus zo is het. Ik ben naar huis gegaan en nooit met klooster in. Want ja, we wisten echt niet wat er over die muur gebeurde.
Ja.
Echt niet. We zaten eigenlijk altijd maar in dat klooster.
Ik ben blij dat je geen non bent geworden, want dan anders hadden we niet kunnen...
Dan had ik ook mijn kinderen niet gehad,
nee,
uiteraard.
Dan hadden we ook niet van jou kunnen genieten.
Nee, dan had ik niet meer gezeten.
Want dat vind ik leuk, want daar ga ik ook mee afsluiten. De manier waarop je met mensen omgaat als je het huis komt schoonmaken. Dat je trekt wel eens je neus op bij een hele smerige toiletpot. Maar je zult nooit zeggen verwijten maken.
Nee, want we kunnen allemaal in die situatie komen. Ik bedoel, we zijn echt bij echt schatten van mensen geweest. En ook bij dames die zo ontzettende lieve moeder waren voor die kinderen, maar waar het echt boven hun hoofden groeide.
Ja.
En neem van mij aan, niet overal waar rommel is, daar zijn problemen. Want er zijn natuurlijk ook mensen die gewoon niet op kunnen ruimen.
Ja.
Maar er waren ook mensen bij waar wel degelijk problemen waren.
Ja.
En dan weet ik wel, als het opgeruimd is, dan zijn die problemen nog niet weg. Want dan hebben we een hele lange tijd te gaan. Maar ja, wij proberen dan toch om een weg te banen dat ze weer opnieuw kunnen gaan beginnen.
Ja.
En ik hoop natuurlijk altijd maar dat het goed gaat.
Ja.
En ik denk ook altijd aan ze.
Ja.
Want ik weet precies waar we overal geweest zijn.
Lili, ik vond het ongelooflijk fijn dat je hier vanmorgen was.
Ik ook.
En ik heb een prachtig boek voor je. Het heet A Place of Beauty and Joy Forever.
Oké.
Zal ik deze aan je meegeven? Ik heb
Fijn,
er wat voor je ingeschreven.
Heel veel dank.
Okay.
Dank je wel, Jan.
En wij gaan naar de Crystal Cathedral om te luisteren naar Daniel Rodriguez. En hij zingt I Walk With God.
I'll walk with God from this day on. His helping hand I lean upon. This is my prayer, my humble plea. May the Lord be ever with me. There is no death, though eyes grow dim. There is no when I'm near to him. I'll lean on him forever, and he'll forsake me never.
They need deliverance that the Holy Spirit of God wishes to give to us. I know that many of us do, because I pray with people consistently and regularly. In fact, it's part of what we do. Yesterday, I visited actually three different families. I visited one family whose his name is Wally. The first time I met him was about a year or so ago, and I met him as in a golf outing, and we golfed together. And he's a strong, tall, handsome man, and he would look me in the eye. He was as tall as I was, and he was a great golfer. Is a great golfer. And he and his wife Ruth, she golfed with us, and yesterday I went and visited him and prayed for him, but he never got out of his chair while we were there. He didn't get out because he just doesn't have the strength to get out of his chair. He has stomach cancer. And as a result of that, he can't eat very much. And he can't drink very much. So he drinks things like Ensure and other products like that. And he goes to the doctors or the hospital a couple times a week so he can get rehydrated so he doesn't die of dehydration. And I went there and I had a prayer for him. I prayed for another family yesterday. I went to their house. And their son just enrolled in an alcohol treatment center. And so it's both praise and concern. And they're concerned about what's going to happen when he gets out of the treatment center. Is he going to be able to keep up what needs to happen so he can maintain his sobriety? And then I had one other person I prayed with yesterday, and I was at his home, and he walked me out the driveway after we talked for a while. He said, "You know, I have to sell this house. I've lived here for 10 years. For the past 10 years, I've been working on it and making it what it is. It's a beautiful home." He said, "You know, I'm getting a divorce." And I said, "I'll pray for you." People are going through lots of different challenges in their lives. And I suspect that there are many here today who are listening to my voice who need deliverance from negative thoughts, negative feelings, negative behavior, negative health. And the beauty is the promises of God are here. And the promise is this: what has happened to me will turn out for my deliverance. Do you hear those words? Do you hear that promise? If you do, I want you to embrace it and take it upon yourself. And this is how you do it. You simply speak it. Something happens when we speak. I'm not sure exactly what it is. It's a spiritual thing. But the Bible says that God spoke, and the heavens above were separated from the heavens below. He spoke, and everything we know came into existence. So we know there is power in speaking. If you want deliverance today in your life, I want to invite you to recite with me these words. What happened to me turns out for my deliverance. Let's try it again. What has happened to me will turn out for my deliverance. One more time. What has happened to me will turn out for my deliverance. Are you beginning to believe it? Let's take a look at history. I believe history is important for us. If you look at the hand of God and how He has directed His people throughout history, He has never, ever failed us. He saved His people from famine through the life of Joseph. And as a result of Joseph going to Egypt and rising to become the premier of the entire land, when the famine swept, his family came and he fed them. And they prospered in Egypt. And they were enslaved in Egypt. And God sent Moses to Egypt, and he delivered them from the hand of Pharaoh. And he brought them to the promised land. And he delivered them from the Philistines. David faced Goliath and delivered the people from this giant. And as long as we've been faithful to God, God has been faithful to us, and God has always been there to deliver us from the challenges that we face. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were thrown in a fiery furnace, and he delivered them from the fires. Daniel was thrown into a lion's den, and he came out without a scratch. Job was tested by Satan, and he lost everything. Everything. And he came out not cursing God, but blessing God, saying, "The Lord giveth, the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord." What has happened to me is for my deliverance. We have to hold on to those words, grasp those words, and take them personally. You know, I look at my own life, and I want to ask all of you to do this today. When you go home, go and make a list of the ways God has delivered you. And I promise you, you can find at least 5, probably 10 to 15 or 20 ways that God has delivered you. He delivered me from a serious reading disability. I graduated from high school without knowing how to read. He delivered me from the fear of being in front of people. I'm talking about tremendous fear of being in front of just a few people, let alone a cathedral full of people. He delivered me from sinus infections. I was chronic, one sinus infection after another. I can go on and on and on talking about the way God continues to deliver us. And we need to write that list down so that we can know it, so that when we face the challenges, we can state them. God, the way you delivered me from this, and the way you delivered me from this, and the way you delivered me from this, and the way you delivered me from this, please, Lord, I need you to deliver me today. And God in his power and wisdom and strength and ability will fulfill his promises to you today. What has happened to me will turn out for my deliverance. This is the letter that St. Paul wrote to the church in Philippi. When he was in Philippi, the first time when he was establishing the church there, he was preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. They arrested him and they threw him in jail. You know what for? Because there was a demon-possessed woman there who he had released from that demon, and as a result of that, she no longer was a fortune teller, and as a result of that, they couldn't, her owner, she was a slave, couldn't make his money anymore. So he reported him to the magistrate, and the magistrate put him in jail, and he was in jail in Philippi, and there he continued to rejoice and praise the Lord. In fact, let me read you the scripture. It's wonderful. Here he is bound up and chained. He says, about midnight, Paul and Silas, they always went out in twos, were praying and singing hymns to God while they're chained up in prison, mind you. And the other prisoners were listening to them sing. Suddenly, there was such a violent earthquake that the foundations of the prison were shaken. At once, all the prison doors flew open. And everybody's chains came loose. The jailer woke up, and when he saw the prison doors open, he drew his sword and was about to kill himself because he thought the prisoners had escaped. But Paul shouted, "Don't harm yourself, we're all here." And the jailer called for lights, rushed in, fell trembling before Paul and Silas. He then brought them out and asked, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" What has happened to me will turn out for my deliverance. And we have to remember, preceding those words are these: "For I know that through your prayers and the help given by the Spirit of Jesus Christ, what has happened to me will turn out for my deliverance." How does God come and take what has happened to us and turn it into good? Great deliverance for us. It's through prayer. God wants us to pray. He wants us to communicate with him. He wants us to talk with him. He wants us to hear his voice. He wants us to receive the direction. He wants to help us. He wants to deliver you. So I'm going to share with you right now an easy step to pray. Lift up your hands just like this. What finger is closest to you when you lift up your hand that way? Your thumb, right? Your thumb is the one that's closest to you. So what we're going to do is we're going to use our hands to pray. You can put your hand down now. We've got it. We're starting. Okay, we're going to use your hand to pray. You always have it there. You can look at your hand. And here's how you pray. First, with your thumb, since it's closest to you, pray for the people who are closest to you. I do that every night by praying through the alphabet. And the way I pray for the alphabet is I go, A, ah, Angie and Anthony, my two children. Lord bless them. And then Bobby, oh, Bobby and Hannah. I pray for Bobby. And then Christina, C, for Christina. Oh, Lord, be with Christina. Donna, D, you got to pray for Donna. Dad and Mom, come under D. And A, B, C, D, E, and I go through the alphabet praying for the people who are closest to me. That's the thumb. Then we have our pointer. Our pointer is to remind us to pray for those people who give us direction in our lives. So pray for your teachers, for your pastors, please pray for me. I covet your prayers. We need your prayers for the kingdom of God to progress and to be everywhere that God has called us to take this ministry. So please pray for me. Pray for your mentors. Pray for people who give you direction in life. Your pointer. Then you have your middle finger. I think most people will recognize that their middle finger is the longest of all of their fingers. There's probably some exceptions, but we want to pray for all of our leaders. People who stand out in our society, VIPs, celebrities, people who make a difference and an impact in society just by being where they are and doing what they do. We want to pray for our presidents. If you're in another country, you want to pray for your royalty and your prime ministers. You want to pray for your senators, your congressmen, your governors, your city councilmen, for our leaders, people who make a difference. Then we have our ring finger. It's also our weakest finger. And as our weakest finger, we need to pray for those who are in trouble today. Those who live in parts of the country where they have a very difficult time just existing. We need to pray for those who are sick and going through some real difficult times. We need to pray for, as Jesus said, the least of these. Now then, we should have five fingers on our hand, and so we have one finger left, our pinky. And with our pinky, we pray for ourselves. One whole finger dedicated just for you. And you pray for yourself, for your needs, for your health, for your family, for things that are important to you, for your emotions, for your health, for your joy, for your goodness, for your laughter. And so we pray. And that is the reality of God coming into our lives to intervene and make a positive difference. What has happened to me will turn out for my deliverance. Finding happiness from the inside out. It happens when we come to the realization that there are five rules to happiness. First, free your hearts from hatred. Repeat these after me. They're important. Free your hearts from hatred. Free your mind from worries. Live simply. Give more. Expect less. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you that you are a God who continues to shine in our lives and continues to be an important part in making us and creating and shaping us into the people you want us to be. So give us the faith, O Lord, to come to you in prayer, to pray with our hands high, and spiritually with an understanding that you are a God who comes for our deliverance. That everything that happens to us is for our benefit and for your glory. And so we thank you, Lord, for what you're doing in our lives right now. And give us the faith to believe that you truly are shaping and molding and moving within our lives to give us deliverance. We love you, Lord. Amen. let me give you this benediction. May the blessings of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit fill your hearts with the conviction and the knowledge of His presence. And may you personally witness His deliverance in your life, your family, and your friends. Amen.
Het was weer een vreugde om Hour of Power te presenteren. En fijn om al die mensen te ontmoeten. En wat Dini ook zei, de saamhorigheid en de blijdschap. Inderdaad, dat is Hour of Power. En dat hebben we nodig in deze wereld. De liefde van God uitdragen, dat is het mooiste wat er is. Nou, dat gebeurt ook aanstaande zaterdag in de Lolaankerk in Apeldoorn. Want daar hoopt de jonge dominee Schuller, Anthony Schuller, te zijn. En twee keer te spreken, om 3:00 middags en om 8:00 s'avonds in die prachtige koninklijke kerk aan de Lolaan. En iedereen is daar van harte welkom. Ga wel even na of er nog kaarten beschikbaar zijn. En dan houdt het nog niet op. Want zondagavond hoopt dominee Schuller in de Pieterskerk in Leiden te spreken. Een van zijn inspirerende toespraken. En het wordt muzikaal omlijst. We hebben een brass quintet. We hebben de Cathedral Singers. Jan Mulder dirigeert. Het wordt een feestelijke bijeenkomst. Niet alleen in Leiden, maar ook in Apeldoorn. We hopen velen van u en jullie te mogen zien. Iedereen een hele fijne zondag toegewenst en God houdt van ons. En dat is de boodschap waar ik van harte afscheid mee neem. Tot volgende week.